runner.
I had noticed that day, like, at the talent show, he was really nervous, and everyone was kind of looking at me weird. I was like, all right, what did I do this time?
I was wondering, I'm like, because I usually, like, I go up to my fiancé, and I'll, like, wrap my arms around his waist and just be annoying, but every time I would get near his pocket, he would push me away. And the whole time we were in the car driving here, he was really quiet and not really saying anything. It was odd. And even his mom was being a little, like, I was going to go up and talk to her beforehand, and he's like, no, like, let's just stay here, and, like, what does she know that I don't know? And he's like, I need to go talk to my mom, I'll be right back. Fine. I get really bad stage fright. It was also one of the first times I've ever done a piece without having lyrics in front of me, because I have the memory of a hamster. Like, I don't remember where my classroom is half the time for classes I've had all term. Like, I fully don't know where my final is today. We'll figure it out, though. So I was really freaked out about not remembering. And I did my first piece, which was really ironic, because I sang All the Men in My Life Keep Getting Killed by Candarian Demons. The first verse talks about her fiancé getting killed, and before they got married. Oh, another, like, telltale factor is his mom was there, which surprised me. It was really nice that she was there. It meant a lot to me.
I basically am my dad's full-time caretaker for the time being. He's in nearly end-stage kidney failure, so I've been at home with him pretty much nonstop.
Yeah, sorry to hear
so that. If I have to retake a class, it's not, like, something I need. It's an elective.
In the scheme of things like that, that really puts it in perspective.
Yeah. My mom, I mean, she's the queen of stressful jobs. So she had to be there, and my dad had been at dialysis that day. And dialysis is hard on anyone's body, so I didn't expect my dad to be there. And we decided to do And I Love Her, because that was one of the first songs he played for me on guitar when we got together. We sang our song. He's being really nervous and really shifty, which, like I said, just, like, nerves, stage nerves. He'd never played guitar on stage before for people. We did the song, and he put his guitar down on the ground, and I still never get over, like, him putting his guitar on the ground, because in our forever of being together, he's never done that. He is so dead set on it goes in a chair or on a stand. He won't put it on the ground.
You thought maybe he was, something, like, medically was wrong, like, he might throw up. He's pale and shaking.
I genuinely contemplated, like, oh my god, he's gonna throw up on me, or I'm gonna throw up, somebody's gonna throw up, and that freaked me out, because I can't handle that. We've been together long enough, he knows, like, I can't do it. Okay, cool, so if this happens, I'm gonna leave, like, where's the nearest exit?
He grabs the mic, and I'm like, alright, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna make me sing something else? Like, what are we doing here?
Now I'm a little frazzled. I might not know much. I'm explaining this, and at that exact moment, I'm interrupted.
I just want... loud over here at each ships. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm recording. Directly behind us, the office director is eating chips and then apologizing for making a racket. So even if I know the audio quality of this isn't great, at least I'm not eating potato chips.
Quiet on the set.
By the way, this might be a recurring theme, my journalism being interrupted by food-focused newsies. They may even be news-focused foodies. We'll see.
You're all good.
Just got finished with the final.
What class?
It's the audio production class.
Oh, fine.
The nice way to say it is I'm learning a lot. Mm-hmm. The other way to say it is I often feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So I just
want... loud over here at each ships. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm recording. My chip crumb colleague over here, this is Skylar, by the way, does remind me, yes, it's true, I don't know what I'm doing, for I've yet to introduce you to Tate.
Hi. I was the one who got proposed to at the talent show a couple weeks ago.
What?
Well, while we're introducing people, here's Denali. And much like myself, other people in the SLC, the student leadership, they also weren't filling everybody in on all the pertinent details. So if you were a little like Tate and didn't put all the clues together, here's Denali finding out in real time the big surprise.
Now, I heard most of the people knew about the proposal, marriage proposal at the talent show.
I was gone by that point.
Yeah.
There was a marriage proposal?
Yeah.
God, nobody told me. The hell? Okay, well, you just gave me fodder to go, like, rant to the SLC.
Yeah,
now. Like, what the hell, guys? There was a marriage proposal?
Was quite a show.
Really?
We got the dogs and a marriage proposal. Yeah.
Like, was that after the intermission?
No, I think they scheduled it. It was like the last thing, because how are you going to top that? But yeah, they played a song and then the guy got down on his knee. And
like they were singing the song, or like it was...
They sang a duet together.
I bet he...
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. The crowd went crazy.
That's adorable. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is so sweet. Are you interviewing them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's quite a story.
That is... Be like to the guy, all right. How did you get balls of steel, sir? Yeah. Like...
Yeah, it was incredible.
That is so awesome. I had no idea. Oh, I'm going to have to tell Paisley she got topped.
You know.
I mean. Oh, my goodness.
Paisley is Denali's exceptional dog, which we will hear much more about on the next installment of Always on the Beat. It's really a gripping tale with tragic turns, but ultimately a heartwarming journey Paisley took to find her loving home with Denali's family. So stay tuned for that. The event planner thought it would be funny scheduling the proposal performance after the Demons Killing My Fiancé sock hop song and putting the proposal right at the end before intermission. The event planner called the group of performers a family. Another performer said the show had a small town feel, like where he's from, close knit. So I might as well say hi to him now. Corey, the ukulele rocker, will pop up at the end today with his take on what happened. And let's just make it all official. I'm Murph Bergamot, and you're listening to Always on the Beat, where people's stories are what's news to us. So tell us what's going on in your world. Okay, now we've got that official business concluded, we will continue much more professionally than before. Our snack break is over, and when we last left Tate, their duet partner had turned pale and stopped the show, and not as Tate had rehearsed at all.
He grabs the mic, and he says, like, the world's cheesiest line. He's like, and on the topic of our love, we'll never die. And the whole time I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you're not doing this right now. You're not doing this right now. You're not doing... No, this isn't happening. He gets down on one knee and opens the ring box, and I, like, I didn't know if I was going to pass out. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I can't breathe. Everybody around me starts screaming and yelling and, like, jumping up. The energy from the crowd was, I mean, the video that we got, and I think anybody who was in the room could feel that switch of energy from, like, oh, this is just a cute piece between two people who love each other, to, oh, my God, he's on one knee. What is happening? There's a very distinct moment in the video where I can just hear someone in the background going, what the? At, like, full volume. One of my friends, I wish I still had this video because she sent it to me on Snapchat and I can't find it anymore. It was right at the end of the song, right as he started to do it, and then she dropped her phone.
Just really bad timing, or because
she was all so excited, she just dropped her phone. I was so mad that I don't have that anymore. I like glanced over, and the people who were judging, like the looks on their faces was so funny, and I said yes, of course, and he put the ring on me, and I got really nervous because I'm like, I don't know what they thought I said, so I had to be like, yeah, guys, I said yes, I promise. All of our friends came and like rushed the stage. It felt like a football player winning like a big game because we got rushed, and I got shoulder checked by so many people trying to hug me. And after going out into the hallway and everybody congratulating us, and my favorite moment is we were outside taking pictures, and this like group of like teenage boys walks up to us. I have no clue who they were. They were just like so excited to be there. Are we allowed to say congratulations? I'm like, yeah, of course. And one of them's like, can we see the ring? And they were like, I've never seen a proposal before. And that was really cool. And then they went up to my fiance and they're like, that was ballsy doing that in front of so many people. And calling everybody after was like the look on my mom's face when I FaceTimed her, and I'm like, I'm engaged. She's at work and her coworkers are all behind her. Her coworkers are all excited. And she's like, you have 5 years. And I'm like, thanks, mom. Totally not what I wanted to hear. Because my fiance didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell any of them beforehand. I'm not a traditional person in the sense of like, I wanted him to ask my dad. And my dad even made a comment of like, I don't get why he would ask. I'm not trading you for 10 camels. Like, and I told my dad, I'm like, I'm worth more than 10 camels, but maybe 10 cows. Honestly, the best part of all of this was a couple days later, we went to his mom's house and his little brother was so excited. I don't think I've ever seen a little kid more excited, because he even told us, like, direct quote, he's like, I just love love. And we printed out one of our photos we took that day and put it up in his room, so he had it. And he's so excited. He's so excited to get to be in a wedding.
And it's so cute. Every time we go over there, he asks, like, is the wedding tomorrow? And I'm like, no.
No. Like, you got some people, it's going to be 5 years. Yeah. You're going to be waiting for a while.
He's so ready. I got him I'm going to set up a little, like, asking him to be the ring bearer, and I got him a little tag that says ring security on it. Took 24 hours for the phone calls from my family to start, because I posted it on Facebook, turned my phone off for a day. I turned my phone back on, and all of my aunts were calling me a great, like, I don't know how to describe it, but grandma's sister, something like that. I just say aunts because it's too confusing.
Yeah.
We're all calling me. My cousins were calling me. People I haven't talked to in years were calling me. I mean, I'm like, I haven't spoken to you since I was 8. I didn't know you still knew who I was. I want to go home. I'm tired. I fully intended to leave after intermission and just go home and go to bed. I was exhausted. I'd been up all morning. I'd been up since like 5 o'clock that morning getting ready. Because he made a comment. He's like, oh, you should wear that white dress. I was like, okay, sure. And then his mom texted me and asked me what color my dress was. And I was like, oh, it's white with red hearts on it. And she was like, nice. I'm like, what do you people want from me right now? It is 5 o'clock in the morning. Please let me go back to bed. Even his mom was like, I'm just going to go home because I this is a lot. I wanted food.
Yeah.
We went to the mall.
And like, after that, any regular thing you do is still exciting. It's like, this is the first meal that we...
I said that too. And the first time he came over after, my dad went up to him. My dad's sitting at his desk and he walks in and he's like, oh, hi, Kevin. And my dad gave me stuff and he goes, son. And I'm sitting there and I went, excuse me. And I'm in the kitchen and my mom and I just look at each other, like, side eye each other. And he's like, congratulations. When's the wedding? My mom yells, not for 5 years. I looked at my mom and I go, I'd be like 24. And she went, okay, and?
That seems to be her new catchphrase, because I think all the quotes
used to witty. She says it to me constantly. We went to a birthday party for his little siblings, and he has a baby sister. And I was holding the baby, and I sent my mom a picture, and she responded with, not for 5 years. And I'm like, I'm just holding a baby. Is that a crime? All of a sudden, am I not allowed to? That's her and my grandma's new catchphrase. I woke up the next morning and I texted him and I went, oh my god, we're engaged. And he went, you're my fiance? And I went, yeah. He still texts me some mornings. He's like, good morning, fiance. $20 says that or the morning after our wedding, he's going to say, good morning, wife. Which would be really funny. It's just the kind of person he is. Like, he definitely would. It made me super emotional. His grandma commented on my Facebook post and was like, welcome to the family. I'm happy. I'm like super happy you're here. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Don't make me cry, please. It's still weird to think about. It's still weird to, like, fill out applications for jobs and stuff and write engaged. So we have been together for, oh god, it sounds so high school if I say months, almost a year. Well, yes, a year is pretty early for an engagement, which sounds more serious than boyfriend-girlfriend. We didn't tell anyone. That's a lie. My best friend knew and his best friend knew. Other than that, and our families, nobody knew. We kept it secret. We didn't want people knowing. And then we got caught by somebody who doesn't particularly know how to keep a secret in public. And we decided, screw it, and just posted it on Instagram. The reaction from people was interesting. There were some people who really didn't like it and didn't approve of it. My thought is, if you were somebody who claims to be my friend, but you can't support how happy I am with somebody, then I don't need you in my life. People grow apart. People can make their own decisions. Also, my parents have a 15-year age gap in between them. It's like, it's not what people think. We both kind of stop caring what people think. We know we're happy, and it does feel a lot like Romeo and Juliet, or it did for a very long time, with two star-crossed lovers denied by name and the world wanting to keep them apart when they were truly in love. We look back on moments before we started dating, and he's like, oh, I totally had a crush on you at that point. I genuinely had no clue. Kind of an oblivious person.
Well, that's a big difference between that. Keeping it as secret as possible to, like, having to turn off your phone because everybody in the world does that.
When we posted it, I did the same thing too. I just turned my phone off. I'm like, you know what? People are going to say what they want to say. And a lot of people are like, oh my god, I knew it. No, you didn't. We both had cover-ups. My best friend since my freshman year of high school pretended to be my girlfriend. And it worked. And then when I told everybody, my best friend, who was my fake girlfriend, responded with, wait, I didn't know we were breaking up. Damn it. And I was like, I'm sorry. Which is ironic because she's going to be my maid of honor. But she told me after, she was like, this was so hard to keep a secret because I've known since the first rehearsal. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me? You should have just told me. I'm like, I wouldn't have told anybody, but you could have just told me.
Yeah, I think that was the best anecdote, that the person who ended up emceeing only knew a few minutes before was covering for some reason and had a concussion. And apparently there was some sort of note about it. And she was saying she had it in her note cards of proposal. I almost said it out loud. It was like, oh, don't mention that.
Oh my God, Shane?
Yeah.
I know that one person came in late and she was in the second act and she's like, I heard somebody got proposed to. I'm like sitting there and I'm like, I'm done being the center of attention. I know that the only people who knew were the people running the talent show. That was about it. How did you not say anything to me? We were talking for like 45 minutes. How did you not say anything? How did no one say anything? Yeah. One of my theater friends was there. She's the mom of one of the other people who was in the talent show, and she was so excited. I've known her since I was young, much younger. We've done shows together. So excited. She's like, I'm going to text your mom. I'm like, don't worry about it. I already did.
I know what your mom texted back.
That's her 5 years. Let's see, what did I say? I text my mom a lot, apparently. And then, 10 minutes later, she texted me and said, congratulations, but not till you're 25. And then I said, thanks, Mom. Long-term engagements are good. She said, you're welcome. I'm happy for you, and it's very sweet. I like Jeffrey. And then she sent me this.
No context. It's a 5-foot peep stuffed animal from Walmart.
Her next sentence is, I'm stopping at the store for salad and chicken strips. Do you want anything? And then she said, where's my Benadryl?
She got back to regular life real quick.
Deflecting. She just wanted to know where her Benadryl was. And then I freaked her out because we went to Target and I sent her this picture because I found the most gorgeous light dress for engagement photos. Wow. She called me and she's like, you better not be. And I'm like, what do you think I'm going to do? Go to the courthouse?
Interesting way of handling it.
Just moving on with life, I guess. My dad is the same.
There was one potential rival, someone the fiance thought of as his baby, someone that might come between them. Would he give the rival too much tender attention, or would he put Trevor to the side? Or maybe the annoying burden would be an amplifier.
The name of his guitar, Trevor. All of his guitars have names. And he let everybody who was involved in the talent show sign the back of it. Yeah, oh my God, one of the other guitarists needed a chair, so they had to put his guitar on the ground, and I could feel him cringe next to me. Sitting there like, don't, please don't put that on the ground. Oh my God, it scared me so bad.
So those are the stakes. You have to have Trevor on the ground, you've got to be proposing. So
yeah, if Trevor goes on the ground, you have to be proposing to me. Next time Trevor's on the ground, it's going to be at our wedding, 100%. It was fun. And then the next day we came in to get that stupid amp that I'm so tired of lugging around. I hate it. It's meant for stadiums and arenas, so it's so loud and it's so heavy and it doesn't fit in my car.
The fiance, who Tate says looks like Kurt Cobain. She describes he's got long blonde hair, he's tall, he sings Nirvana songs. But she's quick to point out when people say, so you're Courtney Love then? And she's like, no, I'm not.
There's a lot of Nirvana, Metallica, Foo Fighters, stuff like that, which is very contrasting to most of my musical stuff. I do theater. I brought him to my aunt's for the first time last weekend, and my aunt instantly made him do manual labor, which is always a good sign in my family. He's also 6'4", and all of my aunts are about 5'2", 5'3". So it's a little, everything in their house is meant for short people. I'm trying to walk down the stairs into her basement. Oh my God, I couldn't find the light switch, so just about went down the stairs. Fall down them again. I've done it so many times in her house. So one time I don't have my ring on me, so I descended in to get resized because it kept falling off.
Oh no. Yeah, you don't want to lose that.
Yeah, I almost lost it when we were in Portland the other weekend.
Oh, jeez.
We were looking at rings at the pawn shop in town, and I found the ring that ended up being my engagement ring. And I was dead set. I was like, I want this ring, and I bought it. And he told me, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to take it from you for now. I was like, okay, it's going to be a couple of years. It feels weird. I'm going wedding shopping with my mother-in-law tomorrow. We're going to go look at dresses, and you're supposed to, start looking at dresses 2 years in advance and order it a year in advance so it can be altered and do all this stuff.
Wow. That's intense.
I've got to ask, what was it like from your perspective?
Totally shock. Because there was a weird, you were describing the little pause of that was a great song and something else appears to be happening. What's going on? And then the excitement of it. Because I was really in the back, which kind of played into it, I think, because I didn't have a great vantage point. But the crowd just went so... I've never seen a proposal in person. And then and it was a good crowd for all the groups and stuff, but that moment was just like... It was like excitement, but also the initial of like, what?
There was definitely a moment of like silence right before. Like when he picked up the mic, it went silent. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Stop it. I'm sitting there like, please don't do anything stupid, because I have to go to school here. Please don't do anything stupid. I'm begging you.
Test my audio skills, but like using a little... snatches, yeah. Especially the crowd. I love it. Like you describe the crowd. It's like, going, oh my God, and then play a little clip of that.
No, the crowd was great, and everybody was so talented. I personal favorite was the dog.
Yeah.
I loved the dog. Yeah. So cute. Yeah. So well-behaved, too. Like, the most well-behaved dog I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know we had so many musicians in this school, and it's awesome that we do.
Yeah, I talked to the person with the dog, and that was a great story of how they got the dog and everything. So I think hopefully
the dog was so cute.
Yeah. Like the dog left right before, because just couldn't handle all the. Yeah. I don't know how the dog would have handled that, but yeah, several people were like, I couldn't believe that happened.
I'd love to hear more people's perspective on what they thought when all that was happening.
Yeah.
Because I know what my friends were saying. There was somebody who told me she thought it was staged. How do you stage that? I'm a theater kid, I'm a director, but how do you stage a proposal with that good of a reaction?
Yeah, you could tell it was...
It was really funny. But I'd love to, like, find people who were there and be like, so, what were your thoughts?
You heard Tate. What are your thoughts? Were you at the concert? What was your experience? What do you think of their proposal and love story? Always on the Beat is all about people and their stories. Join in and let us know. Here's Corey.
I know the proposal was a big moment.
That was crazy. But the proposal, it was silent. Like nobody had any idea that was happening. Nothing. No like whisper or hint that was going to happen. It was such an amazing moment. I felt like that proposal was perfect for those two. Because it was like, it just felt like the stage, and it felt like things that they were both perfect for that kind of moment. Because, you know, well, that's a bold choice to propose in that situation. Like, in front of, like, everybody goes, oh man, what if they said no? Then you're in a really, like, awkward situation. But, you know, if being behind the scenes, I was like, behind the scenes, does not surprise me at all. Because those two were just, they were like, yeah, it was just perfect. Just perfect how it came. But yeah, that was quite the moment. Yeah. That was quite the moment for sure. And the snacks were great.
Okay.
What was life like? How could it be that you show up to a community college of a couple thousand people and that feels like it's New York City to you? How do you get past isolation and anxiety to seek out connection, community, and a communications degree? Find out how faith gave Corey courage and community and a new life. That's coming up on a future episode of Always on the Beat.
Then you picked up on some of those things at the time, and now it makes more sense. Romantic evasiveness.
Sounds like a great like book title.
Yeah.
Or like a psychological study.
So we were talking about odd things that become significant signs in retrospect. Do you have your own memorable love story or disaster? Romance? Bad dates? Are you looking for love? Need advice? Tate might even stop by to give insight.
You would think like, oh, proposals are like these small, intimate things, but something about having so many people in that room and also thinking how many of these people have ever witnessed a proposal or will ever get to witness a proposal. Like so many of my friends have been like, I've never been involved in a moment like this, and it means a lot. In that moment, it didn't matter if people knew either of us, they were just excited to be there and excited to be part of the moment. I feel like that's something that a lot of people are gonna remember for a very long time, and not just me, not just him, but lots of people who were just there thinking they were seeing a college talent show and all of a sudden two people getting engaged. Or, I mean, we're both diehard theater kids. We sing constantly. Like, our friends get so tired of us. It was really, like, special, and every theater kid's dream proposal in that moment. I think every theater kid has thought about getting proposed to on stage. Yeah.
Roadrunner, roadrunner, on your commute.
I'm recording. Make sure we be cool.